Thomas ke onzaga. Ha, ke la. Ke ra chon yo ke. Okay, okay. Ekon. Okay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 9th of January 2019, yeah? Thursday class. We are having it at Sister Padmasuri and Brother Tion's house. Yeah? Let us prepare our mind, yeah? Develop the faith, sada, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Pansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Pansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Pansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Eh? We shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadangsina. Tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupenahang suganghena. Pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajana mutamang. วันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันทตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบดังกุสุเมนาเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเจโหตุโมคังกุตัมละยัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายัตติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมัง Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Just relax yourself, body and mind. And we will off the light and you can have half an hour of silent awareness based meditation. You look at the whiteboard, the four support for awareness based meditation is very important. What you need to do is just follow the four support, especially the first three. You just relax body and mind. Then silence your mind completely. Don't try to know. Silence. Maintain awareness. Just aware. That's what you have to do. So initially, if you are not used to this type of meditation, then you may have some slight problem. But they are not really an issue. You may find the thought arising, but never mind, let it arise, because you need to understand the Buddha's essential Dhamma. According to the Buddha, if your spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties, are not developed, the mental hindrance will be active, and because of that, it will make you think a lot, heedless. That's how the thought arises. And Sankara arises. Sankara arises because of ignorant avijja. So avijja paccaya sankara. So it's very natural. So just accept the fact that the untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance are there. That's how it creates thinking. So you just maintain awareness. Silent, relax. Don't try to know, maintain awareness. Until the thinking slow down, the thought process slow down, everything slow down. Until your mind become very quiet and very still. That's how you meditate. You meditate to train your mind to be quiet, to be peaceful, to be aware. And through this process, you get to realize the true mind, the silent mind. The quiet mind, which is the meditative mind. Then the third support is maintain it for as long as you can. I put that 24 hours. Means technically, if you can, you should be aware throughout the day. Aware means just mindful without thought. But for us to live life, we need to arise the thought. So don't worry. You can maintain awareness within the form of meditation because you are not moving, you are not living life. So relax, maintain awareness. Don't try to know anything. Then let this mind settle down until it becomes quiet. Then you don't have to arise a thought because you are not in active communication or activity. But later on, after you have stabilized your mind, you are able to be mindful most of the time. Then when you want to extend this mind state into your daily life, to develop the daily mindfulness, at that time, you need to integrate with life. Integrate means not only you are mindful, aware, relaxed, but you also have to arise thought. Because you need to live life. So when thought arises, the awareness will be there. You will be aware. And through this process of awareness, you start to understand yourself differently. You start to see a lot of things which you never see before. Because most human beings who are not trained in this awareness-based meditation, they tend to think a lot. Throughout the day, they are hardly mindful or aware. Most of the time, they are lost in thought, thinking, planning, and worrying about life. And sense or consciousness arise and pass away very fast. Every moment of sense experience, the sankhara activity will arise. The reaction of mind, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, then the mind, the mundane mind, they tend to give meaning to whatever you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile, feel or think. So sense or consciousness give rise to mental activity, thinking. That's why you have to train your mind to reverse this process So that most of the time you are just aware and heedful. So the formal meditation is the best way to do it. In the formal meditation, we are not fully engaged in life. We are just sitting in a formal posture to train our mind to have this ability to be peaceful, calm and aware. So you just relax, maintain awareness, allow the thought to slow down, until finally, like hardly any thinking. Yeah. When there is hardly any thinking, that is a sign of good progress. So you maintain that silence, the inner awareness, maintain that mind state. That is your silent mind, true mind, your meditative mind. That is the mind that can understand many things. So I will allow you to meditate. Then I will ring the bell after the 30 minutes is up. Okay. you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We shall chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Itti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabhu Nuhiti Supatipano Bhagavato Sa Ujupatipano Bhagavato Sa Kasango Yaya Patipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Saukasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripajam. Buddhang Pujemi Dhammang Pujemi Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. just relax your body and mind, huh? Then maintain some form of attention. Oh, just oh, no, on. Okay, sorry. So, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, today is supposed to be our last Thursday class before we break for Chinese New Year. So, according to the notice sent out by Suyan and Sister Pamasuri, make note, next Thursday onward, followed by the Chinese New Year Thursday, and the first week of Chinese New Year Thursday, the classes will be cancelled so that you can have your Chinese New Year celebration. And also, I believe most of you will be busy with your festival arrangement. You may have to, maybe like most Chinese, you have to shop around for things to give to people. So this type of tradition to me is very important. It's not only useful in the Dhamma sense. Festival is an occasion for us to celebrate, right? So you celebrate with joy or you celebrate with sadness. It's definitely joy, you know. Then you tend to receive a lot of New Year wishes, you know. People wishing you a happy and prosperous New Year. Then some, as they get older, age, they will wish you good health. Good health and good life. Then, if you can understand, you will understand that all these wishes, they may have good intention, but through just wishing, can it be fulfilled? You have to ask yourself that question. If through wishing, you can really make things happen, then no need to cultivate, no need to be a good person. Then every day wish each other, I wish you long life, good health, happy, prosperous, and good Chinese New Year. Then some, they wish for their career, success, their whatever career promotion, then their growth in life. So many of these, as traditional Chinese, if we don't understand, we just develop the traditional way of doing things. So we wish each other well-being and happiness, happy and prosperous Chinese New Year and all the goodies. But at the same time, it's our culture and tradition to make gifts or offering to family members, good friends, good neighbors, and sometimes colleagues, or your client and all those things. So this is actually a good practice because it develops generosity, which is a meritorious action. So being generous, being kind, wishing for the goodness and happiness of others. So all these are good virtue. But to understand life, you have to go a step deeper. We have to move on to cultivate the Dhamma understanding. So a lot of this thing is not only through wishing that it can be fulfilled. If it's so simple, then no need to cultivate, no need to go do all the good things, the good things that the Buddha teaches. The Buddha Dhamma is about nature's law, understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. So when we understand this nature's law that governs life and existence, then we come to realize a very important understanding for us to have good life, meaningful life, peaceful life, happy life. We must have virtue. We must have wisdom. We must follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, then meditate to purify your mind. Or constantly listen to the Dhamma to straighten your views, to develop more and more Dhamma understanding, so that your initial wisdom will arise. There will be right view with regards to this spiritual law or nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma, then followed by the law of mind, how you function as a human being, how our mundane mind or thinking mind, how they arise and how they pass away, and the law that they follow. The Buddha called it the 12 link of Paticca Samuppada. So when you understand this teaching, the 12 links or the Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent origination, you will develop great wisdom. Then you can understand life. And when you understand life, you can live life to the fullest. Then you can experience the beauty and wonders of life. Then life become meaningful, beautiful. Yeah. That's how it can transform living being. So when you understand this teaching, it brings about a lot of benefits, a lot of wholesomeness. It can transform your life from a heedless, deluded way into a heedful way with wisdom and virtue developed, so that you will grow in prosperity. You will grow in joy, happiness, tranquility, stillness, and happiness. Your life will transform for the better. So this is something that you must understand as a Buddhist, so that it will really help you. Being a Buddhist is not just the Buddhist label, I'm a Buddhist. That doesn't really have much meaning. So Chinese New Year, in a way, is a good tradition. I see positive meaning in it. And to the economists also, it generates a lot of economic activity. Especially our Chinese culture and tradition, no matter how poor we may be, or sometimes no matter how hard we work, we will try to save money for Chinese New Year. So that is the occasion where you try to buy new clothing, sometimes for yourself, for your wife, your children. Then you have to get ready the ang bao. Then once a year, you also have to clean up your house. You call it what? House? Spring cleaning. My wife every time tell me, once a year must do. So you wash all the curtains, all the area that need to clean up, get the maid to come and clean it up, plan. So housewife also has a lot of duty, a lot of planning. So if you plan it well, you will have a lot of joy and happiness, because your house become cleaner. And throughout the year, most of the time, you are in your house. So make sure you take care of your house. Then whatever that need to change. Then somebody came out with a very good policy. All your rubbish that you keep, you better spring cleaning that time, learn to throw it away. I don't say detach. Throw it away. If you don't use, you might as well give it to people or send for recycling, tsuji and all those things. Then also, there is a Kayanimitta who gave very good advice. He said, whatever thing you keep in your house, for 6 months you have not seen it or touched it, chances is you don't need it. Throw it away. Then you will have less rubbish. Then something, sometimes you think for your children, understand? Because after you are gone, I don't think our children want, they don't even want 10% of what you leave behind for them. Maybe inheritance, yeah. Most of them, they are attracted to the inheritance. But all the things that you like, they may not like, understand? So sometimes you think ahead, you try to avoid problem for them. Like certain things which they feel that they don't need it after you are not around, then you should give them instruction. Don't worry, all this you can just give away if you don't want. Or you can do it before it happened so that the house will be more tidy and neat. So these are the things that we can evolve the understanding through our experience in life, and also through looking at life from the Dhamma perspective. That's why this topic of Chinese New Year is a very good topic. I remember I delivered a few talks in SJBA on Chinese New Year. One of them was the greetings and the wishing and all those things. That talk was very good. I think it's in our website. It talks about all these good wishes, Chinese New Year greeting. Just like what I have explained just now. By mere wishing, it can never come true. It may be some kind words, meaningful greeting, and when you read it, you feel happy, understand? But then, for it to materialize, is more important, isn't it? So when people wish you a happy and prosperous New Year, what do you think? You feel good or not? Most people feel good. You want to be happy, you want to be prosperous. But later on, I realized some of the classmates say, hey, money we have already, you know. Health, more important. You say, wish me good health, long life. Then somebody add, hey, long life miserable, you know. Long life but not healthy. So you must have good health first. You may have a lot of money. Then you may struggle to live long life, but are you happy? That's why now they talk about quality of life. So if you want to have good life, quality life, you must have Dhamma. Dhamma is not just about cultivation, go retreat, strive for enlightenment and all those things. No, Dhamma is the totality of understanding of life. Do you understand? What are the totality of understanding of life? Means you must understand who are you, what are you, this form and mind. When you understand, then you know this form and mind is impermanent, lead to suffering when you deludedly attach and cling. Then because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore this one is non-self, empty nature, no reality. But then this one is useful, where this is the karmically conditioned for my mind, for us to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to do the things that we want to do in life, to go through the karmic process, to experience all the beauty and wonders of life, to cultivate and do whatever you can do with it. So this aspect you have to understand, there is such thing as life. So you have to maintain a healthy body. Do you understand? Healthy body, not only for you to have the good life, the quality life, but also to enable you to cultivate. Do you understand? If you don't have a healthy body, not easy to cultivate. There's a lot of people who approach 70, 80, and 90, then they always complain. The body cannot support their practice anymore, their cultivation anymore. So they always complain that, ayo, I should have learned the Dhamma earlier, when I'm young, when I am healthy, when I can go through the cultivation. Now, I am having to confront the reality of aging, disease, sickness, and finally, pending death. So this reality, when they manifest, if you don't take care of your body, you will suffer. So that's why life is about total understanding. So the Dhamma encompasses total understanding. Dhamma is to realize the truth. The essential Dhamma of the Buddha is all the truth within nature's law, the spiritual law of nature. So when you understand truth, you understand Dhamma. When you understand Dhamma, you understand life. You know how to live life. Then you know how to do your duty. Then you know how to take care of things. So you will understand not through wishing that these good things can be fulfilled. It's through understanding the nature's law, then work towards them. That's why cultivating Dhamma is very important. Following the advice of the Buddha is cultivating Dhamma, the proper way. That can lead to virtue, wisdom, enlightenment. And when you have this, you will become beautiful, especially awakening, enlightenment, wisdom. When you have wisdom, only then your virtue can become true virtue. Without wisdom, virtue most of the time is virtue according to you, good according to the individual. But when you have the Dhamma, when you have realized the understanding of the Dhamma, means you have wisdom. When you have wisdom, you will know how to manifest the appropriate virtue. The embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path will be there. You will have right view, leading to right understanding of life, the nature's law, especially the spiritual law that governs life and existence. Then you can constantly arise the right thought, right speech, and right action, and right livelihood to live life, to communicate beautifully. Yeah. Then you become like very noble in all aspects of life. You are very noble in your understanding of life. You are very noble in the way you communicate and develop relationship with people. Yeah. So all these are very important understanding that leads to beautiful virtue. Mm. So virtue is a very beautiful quality for our mind. When we are virtuous, we have a lot of merits, a lot of wholesomeness. Because virtue is free of evil roots, without greed, without hatred, and without delusion. So this occasion, Chinese New Year, to me is very meaningful. Mm. And not only that, the other aspect of Chinese New Year is what? Huh? The eve. What do you do? Reunion dinner, 团年饭. You get to come together as a family, a big family, to have this reunion dinner, which is very meaningful, very beautiful. Then you can catch up with each other, understand not? Then you know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path. You can develop the cultivation too. Then develop the understanding to help family members. I remember all the Chinese New Year that I used to have when I was back in Alostar every year. Mm. My family is very big. We have 9 brothers and sisters. Then with the marriage, a lot of in-laws also. Then later on, we have all children. Then some of them have grandchildren. Then the family is usually quite big. Then although we are quite blessed, very fortunate, but on certain occasion, there are certain family members who need help. I think so far only three occasions. So during that time, we were gathered together on Chinese New Year. Then we update each other. Then when it reached certain family members, then they will tell the story. Then especially if it's our own close relative or family members, our brothers and our sister, or even our close relative, we will try our best to help. And to help people is very easy when you are sincere, when you have genuine intention, because most of us are successful, we do very well. So it's because of circumstances they fall into those situations. Then it's not only monetary help or assistance, sometimes the mental suffering, the agony, most of them involve separation. The husband and the wife, one of them experienced premature death. And sometimes due to traumatic disease like cancer and other things. Then sometimes because of their condition, they get stroke. But so far, so good. Yeah, all our family member is still having the good life. The only thing is I got three sisters. Two of them got married. But one sad thing is both the brother-in-law, they passed away fairly young. One of them is 50-something, I think. The other one is, both also 50-something. That's why we need to help them. Then one of them was my youngest brother, because my father pampered him too much until he become like, because the gap is very far. He's younger than me, I think more than 12 years. So the gap is very far. So when I heard about his problem from my parents, I called my father. And I told my mother also. I said, this year I want to meet up with the youngest one. I want to talk to him and help him solve his problem. So luckily I went back that year and I talked to him. I used normal day-to-day language, but behind is the Dhamma understanding. After I spoke to him, he became very different. Then he decided to follow my advice. And we all help him. I say, it's very easy to help you. So you want to know, you go and listen to the earlier talk. I already explained that before. Because too long. A lot of story behind. So somehow, he changed for the better. He followed my advice. Then I gave him three choices to choose. And he chose one of them. And that one suited him. Then he become very different. And he turned around and become very beautiful. Then after that, my mom, my dad was very happy. Because at that time, I remember I told him, you are the youngest. And all of us, the other eight brothers and sisters, we already have our own life, career, everything. We are all very fairly successful. Except you, I say. Dad and mom worry about you. You can also turn around. My mom used to tell me that she will be the happiest mom in the world. So I said, can't you do this small favor for your mom? And the other thing is, I said, you depend on dad. Do you know how old is dad? At that time when I talked to him, my father almost 70 years old already. I said, how long can dad live? maybe another 10 or 15 years. After that, what are you going to do? But he doesn't work. He doesn't want to work. And he likes to do all those funny things at that time. And he don't have any proper education. I think he dropped out. Form 3, he just scraped through. Lucky to pass. Then after that, he dropped out. So those were the situation. But when I explained to him, I said, to help you is very simple. There are many ways. But your life, you have to decide how you want to live your life. So finally he saw the light. He said, yeah. I said, you continue your way. The outcome, the result is already cast in stone. You know what is your future. When that is no more, you will become miserable. Then your karma also miserable. You never do your duty. You don't have proper career. You don't have even money to do charity. Yeah, to cultivate wholesomeness. You don't even understand the Buddhist teaching. So all these things, after he heard, he become different. And I told him about the law of karma too. I said, do you think I become civil engineer just by the stroke of a pen or luck? There is no such thing. I say, you have to develop them through understanding, cultivate them. Then I say, we've got 9 brothers and sisters. Why all of us are different? Some very tall, some very short, some hairy, some no hair. Some can study, some cannot study. Then some spiritually very adept, very good. Some so-so only. Why? It nothing to do with feng shui, nothing to do with my forefather. It has everything to do with each and every one of us, isn't it? That's why I say it's very clear. Don't go and believe all those things. Forget about it. It's karma. Take care of karma. Then karma take care of your life. So he turned around and became very beautiful. Then after that, he had such strong faith. You know, he come and asked me, how can I learn this teaching? I said, you Chinese educated, primary school. Then after that, go to Malay school. I said, I cannot teach you. Well, I'm English school. I cannot be speaking Hakka to you to teach meditation. So I said, you go Ciji. Luckily, he went Ciji. So it's an occasion where you have good reunion, update yourself, and help out whoever need help. Then share information, understand not? So that we learn from each other. Of course, learn the good thing. Don't learn the wrong thing. Then it's not an occasion to gossip and badmouth other people's life. Do you understand? That is not Noble Eightfold Path. That is wrong speech. That's why during Chinese New Year reunion or whatever, you can apply Dhamma. Check your cultivation. Whether Noble Eightfold Path is with you or not. Or you are still heedless. Getting carried away. Overeating. Overindulging. And all those things. So when you have good understanding of the Dhamma, you will know how to conduct yourself appropriately. The embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is very useful, very beautiful. And when you have them, your Dhamma understanding is established. You can be rest assured that you have the Dhamma. Otherwise, the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor will not be with you. You will not be heedful, mindful, aware. Your mind state will not be the refined type. A cultivator, a true cultivator, or a Dhamma practitioner that has really developed the correct understanding, the right Dhamma understanding, their mind are different. They are heedful, ever mindful. Most of the time, they are peaceful, calm, tranquil. Their mind state are still. And they are fully aware. Constantly meditative, ever mindful. They have good understanding. They can accept the reality of the moment
they can be at peace in any situation in life, any time, any place, anywhere, and they will always have joy, goodness, wholesomeness, and they are a blessing to all. Everywhere they go, they are a blessing to all of humanity, society, even the environment, because they manifest positive mind states, good vibration, energy, wisdom. Then devas will like you. Non-human too will be attracted to you and like you. But they can feel your love, your metta, your compassion. Then they can see you are different. And Dhamma protector will protect you. Yeah. They will rejoice in whatever you share. Then when you transfer merits, share merits, the non-human, they receive them. Yeah. Especially those non-humans that need your merits, and they can receive them. Actually, to receive merit is very easy. You just have to rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then the wholesome mind state is a meritorious action, rejoicing. The four Brahma Vihara mind states are important mind states, especially the metta. When you have metta, your mind states are very beautiful. Then when you have compassion, your mind states are also very beautiful. A very compassionate person is usually also a very kind and understanding person. That's how compassion manifests. Then when you can rejoice, means you have goodness. You don't have negativity or mind state like envy, jealousy, unhappy mind state, sadness, sorrow, lamentation. All this will be gone. When you can rejoice in the wholesomeness that arise, and when you can have the good mind states, to appreciate life, even contentment, all this virtue can make you beautiful. When you are contented, your mind states are very beautiful. There is no envy, jealousy, so sorrow, lamentation, sadness, all these problems don't exist. Yes, you are contented with life, you appreciate life. Like just now in the car, I remember one of the Kayabita, I think Pulian. You heard of the Australian bushfire, right? Did you see the video? Is it the poor kangaroo or what you call that small fellow? Polar bear. He said they have to mirror water. Then he saw one. They try to pour water on their feet and on their body. Actually, it make them worse. Because it's already burning and you suddenly pour this thing down. But there is a situation because karma is like that. When you don't understand, these are reptiles, animals. They don't know what is happening too. They don't know it's bushfire. And that's why they don't know where to run. And they are at the mercy of the elements of nature. Do you understand? Then in my mind, I reflect differently. I had this thought, but I didn't tell her. Later on, I mentioned it. I said, you should appreciate your good karma for having good life, for having been born in Malaysia, free of so much nature's disaster and calamity. Do you realize that? Malaysia is a very blessed country. No matter what you talk about the negative part, but I can tell you, this is really a very blessed nation. Earthquake also minimal. Tsunami also minimal. Why? Indonesia protect us. The big Sumatra, the big, I used to say like a potato, Taiwan Shia, block our peninsula. Last time the 2004 tsunami, that side, the other side of Sumatra, what is that? Actually, they actually block the disaster and prevent us from getting it because they take the heat first. So it's like Philippines, Japan, they take the heat first before it comes to China. So you look at Japan last time, that tsunami, that was the second time I saw tsunami, 2004, then the Japan one. And I never knew the wave and all those things can be so damaging and disastrous. The whole ship also came in. No need to talk about heavy vehicle, the bus, the houses, they just collapse like a pack of cards. Gone. The highway all swallow. That's why you should count your own blessing. Rejoice with your good karma. Have contentment. Have gratitude towards your good karmic nature for having such good condition, having such good life. And do you know, before the last election, if the opposition have not won, you know what will happen to our country or not? We will go to the docks, I tell you. Your currency, like Japanese currency. Not now, not the Japanese yet. Last time, World War II, banana notes. Cannot buy anything. One box or so cannot buy you a cup of coffee. Venezuela, recently also, cannot. The whole economy was destroyed. They also oil rich like us. That's why if the government is not good, you can have problem. That's why we are very blessed. That time I used to tell Kayamita, I said, you don't worry. The consciousness will move. That's why Chin Hao asked me, but dude, how come you know? I said, I don't know. I cannot predict. I don't have this psychic to see future. No. But I can sense from my nature, we are very blessed. Malaysians are very blessed. And things will move in such a way that everything will unfold beautifully for you to learn. So sometimes you have to learn it the harsh way. But for our case, we didn't really have to learn the harsh way. We are indeed blessed, very blessed, in many aspects. Do you know my mother, when he came over from China, the first thing he told me is, he said, our land here, oh, beautiful, is it? He said, we are so blessed. So much rain, is it? And here, the soil, anything you throw, grow. No need to plant. In China, he said, we were in the remote area of, you know, the Yanlo, the Hakka one, Yanlo, in the mountain. So my mother used to tell me, everything is hilly. So to plant something like rice or paddy, you need to terrace yourself. Then every day, you know, don't have technology that time, carry water from the stream, walk all the way out and water. And every day you have to do all these things. And hardly rain. Winter are very severe, is it? Summer are hot. And you know mountain terrain, topsoil also don't have one, most of them. They all wash away the slope and all those things. So vegetation also difficult to grow. That's why he liked Malaysia. In Hakka, he called it Jiu Fu. He said Jiu Fu, very good. He used these words, though. The moment she is out of China, she is out of the suffering world. Can you understand? Because I told him as a Buddhist, we meditate to develop wisdom so that we can be free from the suffering world. He said, I already out of the suffering world ever since I came from China. Because to her, she was so happy. The contentment is that when he came over here, she was willing to work so hard. 9 brothers and sisters and children. She worked all alone, bring us all up. Of course, my father was the one that brings the money back. But all the household thing, do you think it's easy to raise 9 kids or not? Now, modern wife, 2 also complain. Sometimes 3. I've seen some 4. But 9, not easy. Not easy. Even to give birth to nine, I tell you, you will say it's a nightmare. That's why we must contemplate, reflect, have contentment. It's a very beautiful virtue. Have gratitude, respect, goodness of heart, kindness. These are Dhamma. When you have Dhamma, this type of virtue arises. You will know how to reflect. Then there is no more negativity like envy, jealousy. You have gratitude towards your good karma and everything. So like when Polian mentioned that, I see it differently. I say, you all should thank your good karma for being born here. Not everybody is so lucky and so blessed. You look at the world today, despite the 20th century, 2029, the next decade really, supposed to be a very modernized society. But do you realize the world is full of problems or not? Yeah? You look at Middle East. You look at India. Even Afghanistan. And Europe now also. Oh, everywhere demonstration. I thought only Hong Kong. You look at South America. A lot of problems. You look at Africa. Also another place. So not easy. Then now, the European Union, Britain, and even developed countries like US also having their own problem. So now after they hit one of the Iranian general, very famous, now they want to retaliate. The whole world panic. You don't know what will happen. Then luckily, North Korea, they are not so tough with him. They are the rocket men. That one can fire a rocket any time. So, if you look at all this, you consider yourself very blessed. Really very blessed. Then now you have the means, if you are successful in life, you can travel. You can have the good life. True or not? Yeah? You can witness them in your TV channel, Astro. Now you got Netflix, you got Blu-ray, and all those things. So now everything is so different. The sensuality, the multimedia world, the advent of AI technology, internet, we call it the IT era. Information technology era. So we call this the IT revolution. So the early years when we started, our civilization was very backward. Then we had this agricultural revolution first. We had not enough food. Then after the agricultural revolution, enough food, not enough job. Then we have the Industrial Revolution. You remember? Then after that, Technology Revolution, or IT Revolution. So the moment IT come in, in fact, Agricultural Revolution already quite phenomenal. Then the next one is Industrial Revolution, more phenomenal. A lot of employment, wages all go up. But the negative part is what? Pollution. A lot of pollution. So they got to deal. That's why IT, scientific discovery and understanding, have to mitigate. That's why we have environmental engineering. Last time engineering don't have environmental. Then we have what they call public health engineering. That's why I like this course, engineering. Engineering is the one that learn everything. Do you realize that society, a lot of things that you get to enjoy and use come from engineers. The houses you live in, built by who? Engineers. The comfort within the house, the aircon, everything, built by who? Also engineers. The highway you travel on, also by engineer. The automobile, the high-speed train, the aeroplane technology, all by engineers. Then you look at all the ports, airports, the whatever, ships, and even now you have cruise, luxurious cruise. Then you look at the way society has evolved. Last time I used to see this documentary show. They have it on the Astro Channel, I think. Ticket to Indulgence. How many of you have seen that series? Ticket to Indulgence. If you have the means and the money, they can teach you how to indulge in life. Really, these people really. That's why all these are possible. But the Buddha never say you cannot have them. If there is condition for it, you can have it. But not to attach, not to cling, not to be drawn by it, so that you become a slave to it. That is the teaching. You can have the good life, the happy life. Yeah. You can have the means. I used to say, pamper yourself a little bit, but don't indulge. Understand? That's why the two extreme is what? Yeah? The Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, immediately the Buddha told the five ascetics, avoid the two extreme. What are they? What are they? Self-mortification is the first one, okay? That one is for meditator. Second one, self-indulgence. Don't go and indulge yourself. It develops a lot of delusion. Indulgence is delusion, craving. That's why you cannot indulge. When you indulge means you overly attach. Cling. You become like gullible, drawn into it. So a lot of things that lead to downfall come from indulgence. Like when you indulge in anything, it will lead to downfall. Gambling, horse racing, drug. Not say indulge. When you get yourself entangled with it, you also die. But when you indulge it, it becomes worse. Understand? So, a lot of things in life, you have the Dhamma, you can learn. You can develop the understanding. Then you can change your life. You can transform yourself. What I'm trying to share with you is the overall big picture about Dhamma. When you have the big picture understanding of Dhamma, you understand life. So Dhamma is not just cultivate, become enlightened. No. Of course that is one of the important things to do. But life is not just about blindly cultivating without understanding. You cultivate to realize the wisdom, the understanding of who you are, what you are, and life. Then you have to learn how to live life. That's why Dhamma has three phases, you remember? What are the three phases of Dhamma? First one is what? Patipatti, second phase. Three phases of Dhamma. Always remember this. First one is Pariyatti. What is Pariyatti? Better use red. Pariyatti is very important. Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. Learning. You have to learn or develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. After you have developed the understanding, then you can go to phase two. Phase two is Patipatti. You put the teaching, the Dhamma, into cultivation. The better word should be cultivation. Practice can mean thought-based, mechanical, repetitive. So, Patipatti. Means putting the Dhamma into cultivation. Into cultivation means go into life, huh? Go into life. Then the third phase of Dhamma is the most important. This one a lot of people didn't have the understanding. But this phase can only arise when you have developed the first two phases. Then this phase is the most beautiful phase. Most beautiful. And meaningful phase of life. So this one is Pativeda. So Pativeda is after you have developed the cultivation, after you are awakened, then you get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Yeah? So get to live the noble life. Get to live the noble life. Of an enlightened being. This one is the most beautiful. You become an Arya. And this is the phase where life can be really meaningful. And you will get to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. You can live life to the fullest. Yeah. And this noble life is the most beautiful. Yeah. That's the reason why the Heart Sutta mentioned in true emptiness, when you realize true emptiness means the Dhamma understanding, the awakening. Life become wonderful. So in true emptiness, life become wonderful. Zhen kong miao yu. So true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is the meaning. Then during this phase, you can awaken early or connect to your nature early and realize this understanding early. Then you will have beautiful life for many years. You remember the Dhamma talk that I shared at SJBA? Understanding life, its meaning and purpose from a Buddhist perspective. So I break life into three phases of 25 years old. Your average lifespan is about 75. So divide by 3 is 25 years per phase. So first phase is normally our childhood and education, isn't it? Then nowadays maybe you graduate earlier. Nowadays some graduate at 20, 21. Last time our time all 24 plus. So now maybe you save a few years. Yeah? Then second phase is career phase. Most people have to join the career environment, come out to work and all those things. But this is the phase where you work for money or you go in the business and all those things. Then life is not just about working, working, working and working. You know, working can bring about a lot of stress too. Then if you don't know how to go about developing the career life, the career success, you may end up with a lot of very miserable problems that are related to job or career phase. Some are under tremendous stress and pressure, the fear of losing their job, the fear of being retrenched. Then the new graduate, that fear of not getting a job. Then some of them, they have to experience a lot of traumatic moments during their career phase. They work until not enough rest at the expense of their health. That's why their health deteriorate. And sometimes it can be very, very bad. Some develop gastric. Then some develop disease because not enough rest. Then the fear, especially the stress and the fear, they are related when you are under pressure to deliver. So a lot of this actually affects living being. So without the Dhamma, life is not easy. Then if you have to work until the full career phase, means second phase, means age 50, then in between, if you don't have chance to cultivate and develop the Dhamma understanding, means you do not understand life. And you do not understand life, how can you live life? It's as simple as that. So to develop the understanding of life, most people, unless you have your past, you will not start that early, true or not? Most of you start to look for Dhamma or develop understanding of Dhamma at what age? After you finish your career. But most of them maybe before, because you have problem first. Not until you have problem, you don't look for Dhamma. True or not? That's a giant laugh. So most people look for Dhamma because they have problem. But no matter what your circumstances is, it's very important for you to have the condition to go for this Dhamma understanding, Dhamma cultivation. That is most important for all living beings, not only human beings. But the moment you have the condition to encounter the Triple Gem, especially the Buddha Dhamma, you should go all out to cultivate. Just like my case when I was young. Yeah, it was from my past cultivation. That's why when I reached Form 4, Form 5, I start to probe. I start to look at life. I start to question myself. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? And that time when I knew science, geography, I knew we are just one planet, Earth, the third planet from the sun, our beautiful sun. And our sun is but like any other star in the sun. And the number of stars that is within the heavens is countless. And we are just one of the miserable stars. Then we are only one of the, at that time was 5 billion over human population. Then I asked myself, I am so insignificant. Who am I? What am I? One out of 5 over billion on this planet Earth. And this planet Earth is so insignificant. You are just one of the miserable planet of this star. And this star is only one of the twinkling light up there in the heaven. Out of the billions and billions of billions. That's why my mind broke at that time. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? And straight away the answer came out of my nature. You have to meditate to understand. That time I don't even know what is meditation. But all this will surface because it's from the past. The inquiry will start. That's why by the time I reached Form 6, when I received the first book that just mentioned about the Four Noble Truths, the first edition of What Buddhists Believe by our late Chief Reverend Dhammananda, I remember that book, a red color one, thin version. The moment I received that book, I opened up and read through, then I was full of joy. Because that book clearly explained to me what my mother do has nothing to do with Buddhism. What my mother do was Chinese tradition, traditional Buddhist, traditional Chinese. And everything she do actually don't have much basis regarding Dhamma. So that was the first joy. Then I want to know what is the true Buddhist teaching, because after I came to know what my mother do was not Dhamma, I was full of joy, because I cannot accept what my mother do. He go to dentist, pai pai one. But one thing good about my mother, he got very strong affinity with Kuan Yin. That's why I also have very good, strong affinity. So when he asked me to pay respect, I only pay respect to Kuan Yin, very funny. And the Kuan Yin temple that has the four great beings and Sakyamuni and Amitabha and all those things. But the rest of the deity, I can't. She asked me to put the joystick out of respect for her. I hold and I count 1 to 10. And I put it on there. Because all those deity, I don't know why, my nature cannot. I cannot pay respect and even offer the joystick. It's inbuilt inside. Very strange. Then, when I really saw that, I was full of joy. Then I want to know what the Dhamma was. Then when I turned to the page that explained about the Buddhist teaching, the first thing I read was the Four Noble Truths. The moment I read the Four Noble Truths, nobody taught me anything. I straight away knew, that's it. No need to search. This is what I have been looking for. And I have never read Four Noble Truths before, this life, I mean. The moment I read, I knew. I said, nobody in this world, especially the Buddha, 2,500 over to 600 years ago, can summarize all of his understanding into just four noble truths. So beautiful. The moment I read, I understand what the four noble truths is. I knew this is what I need, the secret of life. All of life, both mundane and supramundane, all summarized inside. I said, no being can do that unless he's the real one. Straight away, my nature known at that time, age 17 only. That's why after that, I go all out to cultivate this day. And my nature was so blessed. The moment I came to University of Malaya, first day, after dinner that night, somebody brought me to science faculty. He said, I bring you somewhere. I said, you got nothing to do. I said, nothing. And I went there, I saw one monk, Ball. He was the author of the book, Kesari Dhammananda. Speak perfect, beautiful English. Delivered a very scientific talk relating to the Buddhist teaching. That's why I was full of joy. Then when I heard the talk, oh, there was so much joy. I said, this is the monk that wrote that book. That's why after that talk, I went in front and talked to him, asked for the address. That's how I end up in Brickfield. And the most beautiful thing was, that night when he delivered the talk, he keep on pointing to here. He said, look inside. So I thought the mind was here, at the brain there, the forehead. Yeah, he said, look inside. So that night, I was so inspired. I went back to my first college hostel. Then, I supposed to sleep about 10 p.m. But I can't sleep. I just want to meditate. I don't know why. After I heard that talk, I was so inspired. I just want to meditate. Then my roommate was a senior third year guy. And last time I got this type of beehive hairstyle one. Aeroflow, you call. Aeroflow. Aeroflow. When I saw him, I panicked. I thought, sure, kena ragging already, senior. He said, don't worry. He said, what's your name? I said, I'm Teo. You're from where? I said, I'm from Alastair. Oh, don't worry, I Kelantan. He said, don't worry. Don't wake me up before 10. He never attend any lecture before 10. He only wake up at 10. He very late. And then first day, Actually, he told me he has been staying in a hostel for 3 years already. That was his third year. I think he must be involved in band or sports or what. That's why they were given priority. Then I scared I disturbed him now. So I wait till he sleep off the line. Then I waited some more. I also lie on the bed, but I don't want to sleep here. I want to meditate. I wait till he snore. When he snore, I know he sleep already. So I came down, I sat. I don't know how to meditate. Nobody taught me meditation. I never read any book about meditation. So I sat. Then I remember that talk. Look inside. So I close my eye and I look inside. And very strange, you know, I naturally know how to meditate. You know. My anapanasati, that time I didn't know it was anapanasati. It just came off. I went into absorption. You know. Then I remember I was so calm and so still. Then he said, look inside. So I look into my brain here for it. Blank. Nothing. What is there to look? There's suddenly a white spot, no? Like a star like that. Bright spot appear. And because I'm a science student, math student, I can focus, I can concentrate very well. Oh. So I straight away, no sound. My concentration, my mind, I went to that bright spot. My mind was fixed on that. Mm. Then as I was there, one pointedness, I still remember I got nothing to do. My mind was so quiet, so still. Then I give it a push. The moment I give it a push, my consciousness went beyond that white spot. Then it's like the mind traveling out into deep space, infinite space. Then after a while, I thought, what is all this? So the thought came up. And when the thought came out, I started to withdraw. I say, enough. First time, don't want to know too much. So I withdraw. So after I withdraw, I thought, at the most, was half an hour. Well, my leg all, no pain, nothing. I was so calm, so still. I started meditating at 12 a.m., middle of the night. I remember. I checked my watch, middle of the night. I looked at the watch, 4 a.m. I was there sitting 4 hours. I thought it was only half an hour. Then my mind state was so calm and so still. And this mind state was with me for about a week now. Immediately after that, I said, this is meditation. Yeah, I thought that was it. I was so calm, so still, and so peaceful. And that mind state was with me for a few days, almost a week. Then there was a lot of this type of joy inside there. Then when I went to Brickfield, I remember, I got this metta book, the book like free one. Then when I read, I find it very interesting. That's how I developed the metta, loving kindness. And now the book should be almost ready. Yeah? But because near the New Year, I got a few things to do. Hopefully, immediately after New Year, I will share with you. You all should thank Ing B and the sister Lei Hong, who helped to type the thing for me to edit. It is almost done, but I have to check through and maybe finalize it. When I developed that metta was so strong. that metta was really very strong. At that time, it was so strong until there is a cylinder energy here. Very still. That time, even lightning strike or so, it cannot go near. It's like, because that stillness energy is like, so still, nothing can even penetrate. Even very loud lightning, people would have freak or panic, like caught unaware. This one, no problem. Like on the circumference only, or peripheral of the heart there, like liang, vibrate, but cannot go in, cannot even touch the it cannot even penetrate the 4 inches diameter. It was so still, nothing can disturb me. Oh, that time I thought that is the real one. But later on I came to know, no, this is concentration, condition state, absorption, energy field. That's why it was so still. That time I was full of metta, no defilement at all, a lot of loving kindness, can radiate. Then even people who walk in front of me, they were thinking and having problem. The moment I radiate the metta, they will look up at me. Then they will smile. They also don't know why they do that. Then I thought in front maybe can. Next time I tried, I was walking behind another person in front. So I tried again, I radiate. The moment I radiate, that happened to be lady, both was a lady. That lady in front, stop thinking, no. They turn around and look at me and smile. Then I smile back. After I smile back, she feel funny, you know. Why did she do that? She didn't even know why she do that. Actually, she received the metta energy. Then later in Australia, the dog one, I told you before. Right? So all these are possible when your metta is very strong. Then there is a very soothing energy that come out from your heart. That metta energy, very pure, very soothing. Yeah. The first phase is you verbalize, and I said, you will blind. Then second phase of metta is you will it through your heart. You will it. The third phase is when you already have the metta, it just flow out. Yeah. Then you can radiate it. Yeah. So all these are the possibility of the meditative mind. When you train your mind, you can do such thing. Yeah. But after I graduated, I started to enter the career phase, start working. Then I start to deal with money. Then I realize the mind, because I didn't meditate so often like a student already, this one start to move again. Then this one got idea and fantasy again. Then even as a civil engineer, I still think I must do my master, followed by PhD. Then go and read law to complement my engineering career. Then suddenly I realized, what am I doing? This is craving, greed. I still have a lot of wanting. Means worldly needs. And this has nothing to do with the Dhamma. Then I tell myself, something is not right. Then I realize this heart that was so still last time starts to move again. Then I recall the example of the Buddha. It's like the glass of water. If you don't do anything, the sediment will settle down and it look clear. But the moment you stir, the sediment will float. Means the defilement are still there, not rooted out. Means the calmness energy just suppress it or prevent it from arising. Because it's a conditioned state, energy field, suppression. So that trigger off the understanding, then I realize that is not the way. There must be another way. Then not long after that, I met this great master, teacher. One of them was the Thai monk, Ajahn Yantra. Then when I heard from him the highest meditation, at first I was expecting something fantastic. Then he just say in very simple language, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Then I tell myself, huh? That is the highest meditation? Then I checked. I was hardly aware even for 5 minutes a day, you know, if I'm not in Anapanasati. I have to be in Anapanasati only I can maintain the awareness. Then I realized I haven't done the real meditation. That's why after that I have faith in him, I can feel his metta energy. I can feel his calmness energy. Yeah. Then I can understand his Dhamma. My heart was like very, very it's like there is this strong affinity to develop the faith in him. Then I decide to release the energy that I have developed inside. I release it out to normal awareness. Then I start again. Initially, I can't. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. Then maximum I can maintain was only for about 4 or 5 minutes like that. Then I realized this is not the way. Yeah. Then after that, he asked this question. Who want to promise? He didn't say promise who. Means promise to develop this daily mindfulness cultivation, the highest meditation. So I straight away, without hesitation, I put out my hand. I remember there's another guy in Brickfield also put out a hand. Only the two of us. Oh, is it very good? Two of you, remember, you promised the Buddha. You promise other people can, no. You promise the Buddha, you dare to break the promise. So because of his word, I did it. Within 2 weeks, my daily mindfulness came. Where I determined to be aware. I just maintained mindfulness throughout the day. Every time the mind, like, slip off, I bring it back. Just like Anapanasati, but in daily mindfulness. That's how I develop it. Then when the daily mindfulness came, I also at the same time was very lucky. I met Master Xianhua that time also. He said to take refuge under him, my whole family took refuge. I need to bow 10,000 bow in no more than 3 months. And I finished it in less than 2 months. I remember that bowing together with his daily mindfulness thing, that two combined. Within 2 weeks, my daily mindfulness came. Then after that is history. After that, my mind transformed. My mindfulness become different. Then after that, I saw the beauty in what he teach. Then I realized my spiritual faculty all come back, fall into place. Then I no need to train my mind. I straight away in the meditative state. Straight away aware because daily mindfulness has stabilized. Mind has entered sati. At any one time, my mind is in sati. Everything I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel or think, everything is in sati. There's a specific phenomenal awareness arise. And because of the spiritual faculty, the hindrance are not there. The moment I sit, I was already in a meditative state, stillness, straight away. I no need to train. I no need to do anything. At the most, I relax, silent. Straight away, within less than a minute, just go in. Then sometimes, straight away, because the daily mindfulness is already so stable, the awareness is already there. Then later on, I realized this awareness can go into my sleeping state. It's as if I didn't sleep. The very moment I went down to sleep until I wake up, that same thought while inside, fully aware until I came out, then like I didn't sleep. My face, my eye, not tired. I don't need to wash face also can. It's like 24 hours I can be in the state of awareness within. Then I can see my subconscious release. How the dream state surface, the awareness of it. Then the form and mind, the movement, the activity, everything. The five aggregate, all very clear, like slow motion. Then the law of dependent origination also say, the moment of contact, aware. The moment of sankhara activity, the mindfulness and the sankhara activity rise. When you need to arise, thought you arise. When you don't need, it's completely silent, still, the way. Yeah. Then you can be at the moment of consciousness, before the content went in. Then like the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness, no word one, just that thing. Then how the content of consciousness went in? How because of delusion last time it stir, it react, and it do all those things. Then later on when you have the understanding, it doesn't move anymore. You can see things as they are. So all this become very clear to my nature. That's how I understand the Dhamma. Not from the thought, not from the knowledge, not from the book. I saw it in the meditation through mindfulness. That's it. Finish. And all the teaching becomes so clear. Okay? So this is for your special, before New Year. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we still have 5 minutes. Do you have any questions? So this is Chinese New Year message. You can reflect on it, contemplate on it, and learn. Then later on, you will come to realize not necessarily Chinese New Year. Throughout the day, you can develop this contemplation. Yeah, Angie, yes.
Good evening, Paratil. While we have the means to do shopping during Chinese New Year, and also buying other material things, isn't it better if we do some renunciation and stop ourselves when we see, wow, nice objects that compulsive buying?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I understand your question, Sadhu, to you, Angie. You see, don't worry about all this thing. This thing will naturally unfold. When you cultivate, the question is self-answered. Because as you cultivate, you change, you transform. And your awareness see all those sense, they call it the sense door activity. Like the moment of seeing consciousness. Then how did the seeing consciousness last night condition you without you being aware at all? And it become your habitual tendency. Then every time Chinese New Year, you're so conditioned. Hey, bang, shopping. Then bang, driver. Then wait for you. Honestly, I mean, this is quite natural of most couples, unless the husband like to shop. But seldom, seldom. But I've seen husband who likes to go to market. I've seen a lot. They want to buy the food that they like to eat. That's why they tell the wife, I go and shop. You cook. But shopping, so far, no. For men, very straightforward. Whatever they want, they go there very fast. They go there, buy. Lady, look here, look there, look everywhere. Then call. Colleague or friend. Oh, 10:30 already. The clock still not yet. Clock still got 3 more minutes. So we follow the clock. This is relative. But I know the clock is slow. My white one is correct. Okay, never mind. We got 3 minutes. So, you will start to be aware. But just now, what prompted your question was the thought. So, don't worry. You will go through this phase. Because your thought want to understand how to cultivate. How to develop this understanding. So, this one is at the moment knowledge-based. The thought telling you. That's why the question comes. But what I'm trying to share with you is, don't try to know. Cultivate. Most important is to cultivate until the sati comes. Until all this understanding surface. Then you become different, naturally. Like I told you last time, I like to play mahjong. All of a sudden, it got no more meaning. I still can play. I'm still very good. I don't need to look at the card. I ulut only, I know what card it is. Then sometimes I don't need to ulut. I use the other one finger in the middle. I know what card. Flower also, I know what number. Yet far, ye far, some far, say far. I just touch and I know the flower. And all this is not to say I don't know how to play. I'm still very good at it. I'm still an expert in it. But suddenly no meaning. I just stop. My classmate, all surprised. You ask my wife, suddenly stop. We have no more meaning already. I can't do all those things already. But if you want me to play, I can still play. I'm still very good at it. Last night, card also same. I like game of card also. So all these things, you will evolve and you will transform and you become different. There are a lot of things that my mind used to do, like that day, the reporting by Alicia. Was it a Tuesday class? Yeah? Tell me, Tuesday class. And you remember? He said he saw something on the plant. Remember? So the habitual tendency is straight away want to say something negative about who is the guy who throw this thing. Could be the neighbor or somebody who passed by. They want to tell the husband, Freddy. Then he realized what was going on. Then she was aware. So he realized, hey, what am I doing? This one is of no beneficial value. This is nothing to do with Noble Eightfold Path. This is the old habitual way of gossiping and all those things. And allowing the thought to proliferate. So he straight away stopped. That is what mindfulness is all about. That is what awareness is all about. Then she reflects, is it beneficial to say all this? To allow this thought to continue and to call Freddy, the husband, and complain and or joke about it and say bad things about people who do it. Understand? Because the understanding is there. They are just the way they are. Understand? Heedless, selfish, they will do selfish things. When you accept them for what they are, you are at peace. And when you are at peace, your sankhara doesn't move like last time. That's how you become more and more quiet, less and less reactive. That's how yoniso manasikara transform you. It will straight away prompt you. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience, straight away this will come out. Then you will know. Sankara anicang, sankara dukang, dhamma anatta. People are just the way they are. Finish. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. That understanding will free your mind. Then later on, as this stabilize, no need the word also. You straight away laugh, smile. Yeah, the understanding is already there. You cannot react anymore. You cannot do anything. But sometimes life is like that. If it is something for the good of the many, why not? Like my wife want to buy anything, I say go ahead. But certain things that is no benefit, value, or not much use, then I will maybe tell her in a very nice way, this one no need to buy. And she understands. Then sometimes she has a reason, she will tell me. Then I say, okay, but this thing I leave it to you. You have this, because sometimes people bring New Year offering. So she has to actually offer back, understand? You call it? So he said, has to like exchange. So we buy some, then we receive, then we substitute, then another one come, receive, substitute, or some we want to give, we just pack them and give, so that we have them. And if we can have the means, why not? This will give people joy, happiness. Then it is wholesome. You may think it's exchange, but both are performing generosity. Both are developing merits, understand? And there is joy in their heart. But they can offer to us, they also feel good. They will have gratitude. Gratitude, our Dhamma teacher and other things. But don't because of this, everybody come. Don't. If a condition arise, then you do something, then it's also. But if purposely the thought one, then check, it could be craving. Understand? But don't worry, as long as it's something wholesome, if it's natural, there is condition, do it. That's what I will advise Kayamita. It's a good culture. Our Chinese culture is very good. Throughout the year, you realize Chinese culture got some festival. July month also got the Gokui, Hungry Ghost Festival. Hungry Ghost also, they create festival. Nice, huh? Kao Long Ya. Then you got what? Tang Zhe, Full Moon. Bai Ti Kong. That one is Chinese New Year. No, the Mooncake. then Cheng Beng, Cheng Beng, dumpling. Then you got a lot of things. Yeah? So in a way, it's good culture. Because this will stimulate wholesomeness, economic activities. Then trigger off the fostering of we call what fellowship or relationship, understand? You get to meet up with family members. Yeah? Then you get to like meet up with people during reunion and all those things. Especially those who go back hometown, you catch up with many of your classmates, uni mates or schoolmates. Even same hometown people. So these are the things that I find useful. That's why Dhamma is not just about Buddhist teaching, Buddhist teaching, Buddhist teaching. Do you understand? Dhamma is about life. If you know how to apply Dhamma, you should check, like what Alicia did. Is this conducive, wholesome? If it's wholesome, why not? Yeah, Chinese culture, so what? Even if Indian culture, Malay culture, if it's wholesome, why not? Understand? We also rejoice. That's why rejoicing is a very good parami. Having virtue, having understanding. Okay? So we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we will share merit, transfer merit. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. We will also invoke the blessing for the nation. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana ita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha Pito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay homage to Tripa Jam, then we end. So, wishing you all a good, prosperous, happy and healthy Chinese New Year. So, make sure you develop the Dhamma understanding to celebrate them this year. And for those who already have the understanding, like any previous year that you have done it, you can improve on it. Become more refined in your approach to the festival month. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Also, we would like to thank Pamasri, Brother Teo and family for allowing us to use their home, beautiful home, for this Dhamma sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So a very happy and good Chinese New Year. You know why I use the word good? All the good thing that you want. So good. Good health, good life, good family unit. So everything that is good, so you can have it. So to materialize it is more important. That's why I cultivate the Dhamma. Then all these good things that you wish for can become a reality. So no need to just hope. If you only wish, means it's hope. It may not materialize. But if you wish with understanding, work towards it, then you become different. Then it can materialize. And your life become different, really different. You can see the living proof here. Yeah, I have gone through it. That's why I understand all this. And it can be done, not difficult. The sasana is still around, very beautiful. Okay.